Bible reading is 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 10. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the second letter, chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Let's read also verses 16 through 19. Wherefore, verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. As far we read God's word together, the verse that we now give our attention to is verse 10. Just recently, we completed our consideration of the Belgic Confession of Faith. And the last article of the Belgic Confession, Article 37, sets forth the truth of the final judgment and the end of all things, the return of Christ to judge. We also confessed that truth this morning in the Nicene Creed, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again to judge the living and the dead. So the Word of God in verse 10 also is the scriptural basis for those truths in the confession, and is here in 2 Corinthians 5:10, where we read, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Before we begin, just so you know, there are outlines of the sermon available, and I trust that you're all able to have one. As believers, beloved, we know and we believe and we are sure that the end of the world is coming, and that when the end of the world comes, then also will come the final judgment day. And that's not simply something theoretical. That's not simply something that we say because the Bible says it and it's in the Reformed creeds, and so therefore it is an interesting doctrine, something to talk about, something to think about once in a while, but then merrily go on with life. But the fact that the end is coming, and the fact that the final judgment is coming, is something that is real. And we live with that reality before our minds. And that reality, that truth, that the end is coming, and the judgment day is coming, by the grace of God, makes a difference in how we live our lives in this world. That's how it ought to be for us as believers in Christ. When we think of the judgment day, there are especially two questions that come to mind. Dalawang tanong. The first question is this: what will the judgment day really be like? What really is going to happen? Who will be the judge? How will he judge? How will he evaluate all men? What sort of judgment will he make upon mankind when they appear before him at that final judgment? And what will be the outcome of the judgment day? The result, when everything is finished on that judgment day. That's the first question. What will judgment day be like? But there's another question, and really a far more significant question, and that is this: are you ready? Are you ready? And am I ready for that judgment day? Notice a reference there to Amos chapter 4, verse 12. And there in Amos chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God says this: prepare to meet your God. Prepare to meet your God. Are you and I ready to meet our Maker? Are you and I ready to meet our Judge on that judgment day? With those things in mind, let's consider the Word of God under the theme, our appearance before Christ's judgment seat. Ang ating pagharap sa harap ng paghuhukom ni Kristo. We'll notice two things about that: the great judgment day and our comfort concerning it. First of all, the great judgment day. Ang dakilang araw ng paghuhukom. Ang dakilang araw ng paghuhukom. We believe the judgment day is coming. The Bible presents that as a fact, as something that is very real. Isang katotohanan. The Bible does not say if the judgment day comes. The Bible does not say the judgment day might come sometime. But when the Word of God speaks about the judgment, as it does in Psalm 98, as it does in Matthew 25, as it does also in our text today, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, what does it say? It says the judgment day is a fact, a reality. It is coming. It is going to happen. Isang katotohanan. Secondly, The Bible indicates to us that the judgment day will be a terrible day. Kakila kilabot na aro. Frightful day for the sinner. Make reference there to Zephaniah chapter 1. But look also, and let's do that together now, at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, giving us a description here of the judgment day, and a description that for the person who is a sinner and conscious of his or her sin, a description that is frightening. It will be a terrible day. Notice Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That day is coming. That day when the Lord Jesus Christ will sit on a throne. That day when all the peoples of the earth that have ever lived from the beginning of time to the end, from Adam until the very last person that is born and that lives on this earth, all gathered before the judgment throne of God, and everyone judged by God. That day is coming. There are a number of reasons why it will be a terrible, frightful day for the sinner. Will be that, first of all, because God will be the judge. Ang Diyos ang magiging hukom. God will judge. Now, we learn from our text that God will not do that directly. God will do that through the Lord Jesus Christ. As part of the Lord Jesus Christ's exaltation to the right hand of God, he is also honored by the triune God, that he will be the one who sits on that throne of judgment. He will be the one before whom everyone will come and be judged. He has that honorable position given by God to be the judge. But even so, it is God who is judge. The triune God is judge. When you think of that, beloved, and when I think of that, then I realize I will stand in that judgment day before the God who knows absolutely everything about me. I will. Nakakaalam sa lahat ng bagay. All that I have ever said and all that I have ever done and every thought that has ever entered my mind, and every desire that has ever been in my heart, all the sins of my life, all the sins of the past, including the foolish sins of youth. In this life, we succeed somewhat in hiding things from others. And to the degree that we think we hide our sins from other men, we can sometimes delude ourselves into thinking, I can hide it from God too. We make excuses, we lie, we try to cover up our sins, but on the judgment day, nothing will be hidden. God knows lahat nang bagay. And then secondly, on that judgment day, we will stand before the God who is perfectly just and fair. Ganap na makatarungan at patas. It's not true of earthly judges. If you go to the courts of our land, if you think about the judges that we have today, then you realize that the courts are plagued with injustice. The courts of the land are plagued with corruption. And you can go to court, bring a case to court, but there is absolutely no guarantee that justice will be served, that the verdict will be correct and fair and right. We even know from our own experience that it often happens that it is not just and right. But when we come to the judgment seat of Christ, you can know this, the judgment that he will make will be 100% correct. Kama. If he says guilty, that's what a person is. If he says innocent, that's what a person is. And there will be absolutely no doubt concerning the judgment that he makes, that it is correct, it is just, he is fair in his judgment. That makes the day a frightful day for the sinner. We will come face to face with God, with the God who knows everything, and the God who will make the right judgment concerning us. And secondly, it is a frightful day because everyone will be judged. Angawat isa e hahatulan. Notice that in our text. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone. And notice too what the text says. We all. That is, we who are people of God as well. It's not going to be a judgment day just for the wicked, but also for the people of God. We all. The apostle is writing to the church. The apostle, under the inspiration of the Spirit, is writing to the people of God. And he includes us amongst those who have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. No one exempted. No one will be able to slip into the back of the crowd and hide from the judge. Every person will be called by name. Every individual will stand before God. We all have an appointment with God. God has made that appointment for us. And God will see to it that we keep that appointment, that we stand one day to be judged by God through Christ, every single person. And then thirdly, that judgment day will be a frightful day because the judgment will be according to works. Ayon sa mga gawa. That's what our text says. We read it also in Revelation chapter 20, but notice what the text says. Everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. What that means, beloved, is simply this. That means all your works and all my works are going to be mentioned and brought up on the judgment day, and we will be judged according to those works. Whether those works were good or whether those works were bad. Our secret sins will be mentioned as well. The things that we thought we could get away with because we were able to hide them, they will be mentioned. Things that are hidden now will no longer be hidden. There will be no secrets anymore on the judgment day. Everything will be made known. That's the meaning, too, of those two books that are mentioned in Revelation chapter 20. You'll notice that when we read that, Revelation 20, verses 12 and following, the book of life and the other book that has in it the record of all the works of man. Not, of course, that God has these literal books, but to teach us that God will know all the works that we have ever done, and God will judge us according to those works. Christ will say to you and me on the judgment day this, I know you. I know who you are. I know what you did in your earthly life. I know how you lived your life on earth. And then he will question us. As judge, he will say, what did you do with everything that I gave you in your earthly life? What did you do with your life? What did you do with your time? What did you do with your money? What did you do with your abilities? What did you do with all your possessions? What did you do with your family? Did you use these things well, as you ought to use them, to seek first the kingdom of God? Or were you selfish? And what about your sins? Why did you commit those sins when you knew full well that my word forbids those things? Why did you fail to obey me? Why did you fail to love me? Why did you fail to love your neighbor as yourself? Why were you proud and selfish and unkind and unforgiving? We're all going to face those questions. And not simply in a corner somewhere, but in that great public event with all the multitudes of the peoples of the earth openly and publicly before the whole world, before all mankind. Every single one of us will face that judgment and that questioning by Jesus Christ, the judge. Think of that. According to works, that makes the day frightening to the sinner. Then fourthly, it will be a frightful day because of the sentence that will be carried out. Da hil sa hatol na ipapatupai. The text tells us not only that we will be judged according to works, but also that we will receive things according to our works. The outcome is according to works. What we will receive when Christ is finished judging us, we will receive something, and what we will receive will be according to the works that we have done. Notice very carefully, beloved, what the text says here. According to works. It does not say on the basis of works. It does not say that. Our works are not the basis of what we will receive. Our works are not the basis of our salvation. Our works are not the basis of the reward of glory and eternal life that God will give us, because those are gifts of the grace of God, earned, not by us, but earned by the death of Christ on the cross. So not judged and not rewarded on the basis of works, but according to works. What that means is this, that our judgment itself and then the outcome, the reward, what we receive after the judgment will be in agreement with the works that we have done, will match the works that we have done, will be in harmony with what we have done in this life. If our works were good works in this life, then we will receive a good reward, a positive reward, a blessed eternal reward. But if the works of an individual in this life were bad, evil, and only evil continually, he will receive something that matches the works that he did. He will receive something that is negative, something that is bad. And there are only two possibilities. Those that have done good will go to heaven. Those that have done bad, evil, will go to hell, to that awful place, that unquenchable fire, that bottomless pit where there is only weeping and gnashing of teeth. So after the judgment, each person will receive something. Something that matches, something that is in harmony with what he or she did. And then will receive that eternally. Well, that great and terrible judgment day is coming. The day of God's justice, the day of God's wrath, the day when we will have to give an account, even of every idle word that we have spoken. The day when we will stand before the God who knows everything. The day when nothing will be hidden. No excuses will be heard. No lies will be tolerated. The day when justice will be served. Who shall be able to stand? Who shall be able to stand? We are sinners. We continue to sin daily. Will you and I be able to stand before the judgment seat of God? What will be the outcome for us? Secondly, from our text we notice this, our comfort concerning this judgment. Ang ating kaaliwan tungkol dito. That's not so much mentioned in the text itself, but in the context. The approach of the child of God is positive. The perspective of the child of God with regard to that judgment day is coming, that is coming, is not one of fear and dread, but hope and comfort and peace. Notice that in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, and that will take place on the judgment day if we are still living, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have hope. And then also, verse 6, therefore we are always confident always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Then verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Of course, we recognize and we admit that by nature we are afraid of the final judgment. Tayo ay mai takot sa huling paghato ayon sa ating kalikasan. After all, who wants to stand before the face of God? Who wants to stand before the God who knows everything about me? Who wants to be questioned by Him? Who wants to have to answer for everything that He has ever said and thought and done? And who wants everything to be exposed? Naturally, we fear. And that fear is real in the life and heart of the child of God at times, because we know we are sinners. That fear is real because we realize what we deserve from God. That fear is real because as sinners we know God has every right to take us too and to punish us eternally for our sin. And if God did that, we could not complain. And we could not say God is unjust. We could not say God is unfair if God did that to us. Naturally, there is that fear. And sometimes spiritually as well, when our faith is weak. But by the grace of God, we are not afraid. But rather, the child of God, by grace and through faith, is eager for the judgment day to come. Eager for the Lord Jesus Christ to return. He confesses, I look forward to His return as judge. I'm not afraid of the judgment day. I'm not afraid to meet my Maker. I'm not afraid of appearing before the throne of God and Christ and being judged. I look forward to that day. And the question, of course, is, how is that possible? How can we who are sinners not be afraid of the judgment day? How can we not be afraid of being judged according to works? How can we not be afraid of everything being exposed? How can we not be afraid of the outcome of the judgment and the sentence that God gives about us and to us on the judgment day? Well, that's possible for especially two reasons. I mentioned here three of them. One is that then all our sorrow and persecution is over, and certainly that makes it true of us that we look forward to that day. All misery, all suffering, all heartache, all pain, all separation, all loneliness, all sickness, and all sin finish. But as far as the main reasons why we are able to look forward to the judgment day and able to be without fear regarding the judgment day are these. Because of who the judge is. Ang hukom ay ang ating tagapagligtas. Remember that, beloved. Ang hukom namin ay ang ating tagapagligtas. Jesus Cristo will be our judge. The text says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Of Christ. And what that means for us is that we will stand before the judge who offered himself on the cross for us. We will stand before the judge who was punished for our sins and for all of them. We will stand before the judge who was punished by God for the sins of the people of God, so that when we appear before him on the judgment day, we appear no longer as sinners, no longer as those who must be punished for our sins, but instead as those who are righteous. Righteous in Christ, who has already been punished for our sin. He went to hell already for us. He removed God's wrath already for us. And in the place of that wrath of God, now we will receive God's blessing. If you think, beloved, that when the Lord Jesus Christ sits on the judgment throne and we come before him to be judged, that he is going to forget that we belong to him, that he is going to forget that he died on a cross for us. Will he forget that? After all he did and all he went through in order to save us from wrath and hell. He knows his people. And he knows what he has done for us. And he will remember that on the judgment day. And therefore, what a difference, beloved, that makes for us when we think of that judgment. Yes, we will be judged according to works. All our sins will be exposed, but not in order to condemn us. But those sins, though they will be mentioned on the judgment day, will be mentioned in order to show what Christ has done for us with those sins. They will be mentioned on the judgment day to show to all the world that we can go to heaven because those sins have already been punished by Christ. We can go to heaven because Christ laid down his life for us and got rid of the wrath of God that we deserve. Yes, they will be exposed, but exposed as sins that are covered in the blood of Christ. Exposed as sins that are already forgiven. Exposed as sins for which someone already went to hell for them. Son of God. What a comfort. The judge will be our Savior. An hukom e an ating kagapaglintas. Then we don't have to be afraid of the final judgment. And the other reason why we need not be afraid of the final judgment is because of the outcome for us. Tahilsa kahihinatan natin. We will be rewarded according to works. And you and I will be those who admit today, beloved, will we not, that our works are not so good. Our works, the things that we do in this life, don't deserve much at all. Don't really deserve anything. Why not? Because our works in this life are not that good. Heidelberg Catechism gives us two striking statements concerning the good works of the Christian. And it says this, the holiest men in this life, notice that, the holiest men in this life have only a small beginning of obedience to God. That's true of the holiest people in this life. That's true of the champions of faith. If that's true of them, where does that leave you and me? Secondly, the Heidelberg Catechism says this, the best works of the child of God are tainted with sin. So that even when we do a good work, even when we do the good work of worshiping God, even when we do the good work of confessing our sins to God, even when we do the good work of loving our neighbor and being kind and forgiving our neighbor, that work is tainted with sin. Very impure work. And yet, God will reward us positively on the judgment day. And He will do that because even though our works are imperfect, nevertheless, we have done them. We have done good works. Now, we did not do them in our own strength. When you confess your sins, you don't do that in your own strength. When you pray to God, you don't do that in your own strength. When you worship God on the Lord's Day, you don't come to church in your own strength. The good works that we do are the works of Christ in us and through us. But nevertheless, God says to us, you do good works. And those works that Christ does in you and through you are the works that I will look at on the judgment day, and I will reward you according to those works. In other words, God will reward us really for what Christ did. We get a reward, the reward of heaven, the reward of eternal life, a reward according to our works. Good works receiving a greater reward in glory. But we are being rewarded for the works that Christ has done in us and through us. The child of God will be the first to admit that. Christ did it all. I didn't do it. And now God graciously rewards me for the works that Christ did in me and through me. What a wonder. Amazing, amazing grace of God. To give us a reward for works that we ourselves could not do and did not do. Christ did them in us and through us. But we are the ones whom God rewards. A wonder of God's grace. So we will receive the eternal reward of eternal life. What will the judge say about you and me on that final judgment day? His declaration will be innocent. 100% innocent. And 100% innocent because I, Jesus Christ, the judge, went to the cross for every single sin of my people. Now they are the heirs of eternal life. They will spend eternity with me in the new heavens and the new earth. What comforting, comforting truths concerning the final judgment. May we therefore, beloved, long for and pray for the return of Jesus Christ as our judge. We have nothing to fear. We belong to Jesus Christ. His coming can only mean and will only mean for us eternal blessing and joy. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we are thankful for thy word. May it give us joy and comfort and peace. And also may it cause us to pray more often and more sincerely, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." In Jesus' name we pray.